One.
Stay tuned for the Sean Casey Show, a podcast for patriots. We the people. Let's go, Brandon. We the people. Let's go, Brandon. We the people. Let's go, Brandon. We the people. We are back. The people are back. The people have spoken. The people are saying we don't want more of this Chairman Joe and this Commie Harris and these high prices and gasoline and grocery and the borders. We've had enough of this stuff. So midterms are coming up in just 140 days. Welcome back to the Sean Casey Show, a podcast for patriots. It's where we the people gather together to foment the resistance to the current regime. We're joined in the battle each and every day with our executive producer, Joe Hosni Armacost.
Yeah, what was that song? Let's go camping.
And our associate producer and researcher, Michelle Gisella. Hello, Michelle.
Hi there. How was everybody's happy Father's Day?
It was Father's Day was good. Great. Anytime you get to spend with the family and celebrate Dad's Day, we went out to brunch in our state capital of Annapolis. It was a beautiful day right there on the water. And it was just gorgeous. Had a great time. I was with my nephews, my brother, my great nephew, and we had a great time. So how about you guys?
Awesome.
Yeah, well,
wonderful.
Joey was here, and he treated me to a round of golf and kicked my ass. So that was good.
He did that on Father's Day? He didn't let you win on Father's Day?
No, he didn't. Oh, no, he's not going to let me win ever.
Oh, man, those jar heads, those leathernecks, they're competitive, aren't they?
Yeah.
Those Marines are not going to give you any wiggle room whatsoever.
Yep. But he played well. It was a nice day.
And, well, that's
Michelle,
good.
You were busy too, weren't you, Michelle?
Oh, I made some dinner. I made some steak dinner and corn on the cob and baked potato, relaxing day outside in this beautiful weekend.
So. Yeah. Especially in the East Coast, the weather was just absolutely gorgeous. It felt like fall on Saturday. And then a little bit warmer yesterday and today. Is about the same, but I hope wherever you are, wherever you're listening to this show, that you had a great Father's Day, and thank you for downloading, subscribing, rating, and reviewing. We'll talk a little bit about numbers here, just a sec. We don't do this a lot, but it's important when you're coming up on milestones, because, you know, I just want to thank, first off, it's the 1 year anniversary for Joe and Michelle joining the podcast, so I want to thank them and congratulate them for all their contributions.
You're welcome.
Over the last year, and we started this venture in August of 2020, and so we're coming up on the 2 year anniversary for the entire show, but the 1 year anniversary with Joe and Michelle joining in, and the numbers last week, the highest numbers we've ever had at 2300 downloads for the week. For the month, we're over at 6,300. Is that what you said, Joe? 6,300, I think?
Yeah, for the month, yeah.
And right now, we're on the precipice of 100,000 downloads. Our goal was always to try to get there by anniversary year number two. And keep our fingers crossed, I think we will get there. And it's all thanks to everyone that's joined this. And this is a group. This is a team. You know, we happen to be leading the charge here, but this is a team of patriots that are concerned about the future of this great, exceptional nation, the United States of America, that we must save our country. We must take it back from the radical Marxists that would like to turn this into some type of dystopian, a socialist hellhole. And that's exactly what we're going to be doing. So it looks like we're going to make it. But I just want to, again, thank everybody for joining us and spreading the word, sharing the wealth, because that's how we make this thing grow. We make it, it's kinetic, it's a grassroots movement, and we're coming up on 100,000 downloads, and I think we're gonna break it in July. We may be a month early. So,
you know, and before you go, I would like everybody, if you're not subscribing, subscribe. It's not a pain, it's free, and that's what drives the numbers. I don't know if folks know that, but the subscriptions drive the numbers.
Yes.
And we're really trying. We work very, very hard. you know, Sean knows me with everything I do. I work hard, and I know that Sean works hard on everything. Mm-hmm. I'm not so sure about Michelle. But,
yeah, Michelle, she's, you know, she's just.
I don't know. I just look up stuff.
Yeah. No, you've done a good job.
No, I know.
You really have. Yeah.
Thank you.
But Michelle does a great job on what we call the headliners. That is the highlight we pull out of each and every episode. She handles the KC commentary. She does a lot of research and for the show, and also. You know, whenever we're cutting up sound, it's Michelle that usually is out there looking for it, editing it. So again, it's truly a team effort. So I want to thank everybody. Thank you. And you're right, Joe, about the subscriptions. And the other thing about subscriptions is that it will you know, show up in your electronic device automatically. So you don't have to go looking for the show. It'll be right there on your phone or on your laptop or on your PC, wherever you may be listening and enjoying the show. That's what's great about it. It's automatic. You don't have to go looking for it and downloading it manually. So thank you again. Subscriptions are the key to life in the podcast world. Again, look, there's a lot of competition out there, a lot of folks doing these kinds of shows. Yeah. And I just want to thank you that you have chosen us as one of your regular shows. I know you probably listen to many others, but we're just thankful that you've chosen this show. For one of your, you know, for one of your subscriptions or one of your shows that you choose to listen to. So thanks again so much. And so we'll give some, there's a little something different this week since we're starting with numbers. Just the top five downloads for the week. And this is interesting because it is DMV related. It's basically the district, Maryland, Virginia. That's what we call the DMV area. And we start the top five. Top two are Baltimore and Pasadena, Maryland, are the top two downloads for the week. Then we go to New York, breaking the mold a little bit. And then back to the DMV for Washington, D.C., and then Ashburn, Virginia, which is a suburb of D.C. in Northern Virginia.
So, that's interesting to me. Yeah.
It is, because it's all blue. States.
Yeah. Think about that. Every single one of those jurisdictions are blue. So that means that there are patriots behind enemy lines. They're either trapped there or they're until they can get out. But that's good. It's good to know that. And again, no, we have, I think we did the numbers once before. We're, I think, in 8 or 9 continents and over, 100 different countries and states. And it is just amazing to watch the growth of what started just a little bit, almost 2 years ago. So, thank you again. We appreciate that. We're going to start with our founding fathers today. Today is Juneteenth. Yesterday was Juneteenth. But today is the federal holiday, the national holiday. And what that was, what it means, is that today, yesterday, June 19, 1865, is when the a lot of the black slaves in this country finally got word about the Emancipation Proclamation that Abraham Lincoln had signed. And it took a little while back then. We didn't have social media. We didn't have instantaneous television or even, radio that we could have, maybe wireless. It was a little bit later, but it was basically Pony Express, word of mouth. And it took that long for the word to get out that the Emancipation Proclamation had been signed and that blacks as slaves were finally free in this country. And that's a good thing. But it had been a long struggle, I'll tell you the truth, because people think that, look, yes, George Washington and Thomas Jefferson and many of our founding fathers did indeed own slaves. Did that make them horrible men? No, it made them flawed men. Because, again, that was the necessity of the day years ago. Not that it made it right, but that's just basically what everybody had when they came into this country. And the founding fathers and Abraham Lincoln had all opposed slavery. They adopted the Declaration of Independence that pronounced all men created equal. It didn't say white men. It didn't say, anything specific, just about the folks that came here and founded this country. It said all men are created equal. Took a little while to get there, but eventually we did. Let me tell you some of the things that they did. They enacted the Northwest Ordinance of 1787. Banning slavery from the vast Northwest Territory. So that was the first act that our founding fathers did. They realized slavery was not a good thing, that it was bad, and that they put that in place in 1787 to ban it. To be sure, many of the, as I said, founders owned slaves, but they asserted their hostility to slavery in principle. while tolerating it temporarily as they hoped in practice. That was why they did not mention the words slave or slavery in the Constitution. Lincoln said that this is, it was persons held to service, quote, thus the thing is hid away in the Constitution, just as an afflicted man hides away a wen or a cancer, which he dares not cut out at once, lest he bleed to death, with the promise, nevertheless, that the cutting may begin at the end of the given time. And so it began in 1787 with the Northwest Ordinance, which prohibited the African slave trade. In 1807, we had the Missouri Compromise in 1820. And again, finally, the gradual emancipation with the generation of fathers had accomplished in the states all north of Maryland. So again, that's a little bit of a history lesson and a quote from one of our founding fathers, President Lincoln. But that's where we are today on Juneteenth, and that's why it is significant. I want to talk about the fall of Biden and why it is, I mean, everybody saw it, or if you haven't seen it, you've heard about it by now. We had a little bit of a mishap on his bicycle in Rehoboth Beach, Delaware, over the weekend.
Joe Biden fell off his bicycle. I'm glad that he's all right. If Joe still wants to pedal around, I think that he may need a try.
Yeah, that's what happened. He fell right off the bicycle. Oh my God, we got to ban all those assault 10 speeds out there immediately. Oh, you know?
He needs a wheelchair instead of a bicycle.
And of course, this is how the actual bike fall sounded. All right, so again, what happened was he was coming to a full stop, and instead, you know, you usually put out both feet, you know, to steady yourself on the ground. Man. Well, instead of, he had trouble getting his right foot out of what is the pedal clip, you know, and that's what goes over the pedal. It puts your toe in, and that's, you know, so that you can go fast and your feet don't slide off the pedals. So he couldn't get his foot out of the pedal clip, and it got stuck, or he got caught. In fact, he says it gets caught in this little clip.
Yeah. Keep up the good work. I keep on taking these things off. I got my foot caught.
Yeah.
What's happening?
Oh my. And yeah, he went down like you know, like a ton of bricks, and thank goodness he wasn't injured. Nobody wants to see anybody get hurt in any of this stuff. But I've got a couple of thoughts on this. One that my immediately thought was, this is really symbolic. It's symbolic because you know the he is failing and falling. The nation right now is failing and falling. And this is happening at a time when you look at all the symbols and signs around us, and it really is, I guess, symbolic of the systemic failure of this administration. That's number one. Number two is, do you remember all the grief that Donald Trump got when he was walking down the slippery ramp at West Point?
Oh yeah.
And the media, I remember he had the, you know, it was cold that day, and he was worried about ice building up on the ramp, and then he also had trouble getting that his drink, you know, up to his lips to take a drink while he was speaking. And the media just absolutely pilloried Donald Trump for that.
Yeah, President Ford.
Remember him? Exactly. President, that's a great point. President Ford was, if I'm not mistaken, either an All-American or All-Conference. I'd have to look it up. But he was a center, an offensive lineman at the University of Michigan, and an All-Star. Let's put it that way. And again, you have to be fairly coordinated to be able, as an athlete, to play at the University of Michigan.
Boy, they tore him up, man.
They did tear him up. And they tore every single Republican up. Remember, I think George W. Bush, 43, had a bike mishap, if I'm not mistaken. And, of course, he was made a national laughingstock. So when something like this happens to Republicans, the media just won't let up. Here, I mean, they all chronicled it, but it wasn't like this was a gaffe, or it wasn't like it was like, oh, my God, can you imagine? You know, thank God President Biden is all right, blah, 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 blah. And, yeah, nobody wanted to see anybody get hurt. But just the difference, the disparity in treatment and in media coverage, I thought was a very, very interesting, to say the least. But I say symbolic because right now the entire country, you look at it, you've got the New York Times, you got the Politico, you have all these, the poll of the 50 senators, and only five of them would support Biden for reelection. So right now, they all know his presidency. Some have called it a lame duck. I would call it a dead duck. He's done. He's toast. He's not going to get anything because Manchin, I don't think, is going to budge on the Build Back Broke bill. I think Republicans are going to take both houses this November, even though we have to be ever vigilant, the possibility of cheating. You look at all this, and everything around him is crumbling. Everything. I mean everything. From the borders to gas prices and inflation. You look at the immigration issue. You look at the inflation issue. And also, that I don't think it's incompetence. I think it's intentional. Some of my colleagues would disagree with me. But and then he knows that the American people are looking at his administration right now, and he has record low approval ratings, record high disapproval ratings. I think USA Today is the latest one. I think it was 39% approval and like 58% disapproval. And of course, the rest aren't sure because why? They read USA Today. Rest my case. But here he's now desperate. They know they have to do something about these high gas prices because it's killing the economy. It's killing America, and it's eventually going to lead to food shortages. Here is Chairman Joe on Friday.
In the United States, I'm using every lever available to me to bring down prices for the American people. And our nations are working together to stabilize global energy markets, including coordinating the largest release from the global reserve, from global oil reserves in history.
First off, it's not a global oil reserve. It's a strategic petroleum reserve. It's not for the world. It's for the United States. That's number one. Number two, he's not using every lever because every lever would include reinstating the Trump energy policies, like the Keystone XL pipeline that would create jobs and allow these drilling permits. I mean, the 9,000 leases he talks about every time he opens his mouth, those are the leases that oil companies hold where there's no oil on the land. Otherwise, they'd be drilling there. They need to open up new federal drilling permits and leases to allow us to tap into oil. But remember, they'd rather buy from the Saudis. They'd rather grovel to the Saudis and buy, since the Russians were not buying their oil anymore, and the Venezuelans, and perhaps even the murderous mad mullahs of Iran, they'd rather do that than create American jobs. Why? Because they're slaves to the radical Marxist and the Green Raw Deal, and, of course, the climate change idiots. So that's where we are. On our southern border, Texas Governor Greg Abbott says the death and destruction and the devastation caused by his policies, that he really needs to go down and see it, which, of course, he won't do.
He needs to see the ranches that have been ripped apart by the illegal immigration that he has allowed. He needs to talk to the people whose lives have been completely disrupted. He needs to talk to angel moms who have lost a child because of an illegal immigrant in the United States of America. He needs to see firsthand the chaos that he has caused.
And that is chaos. We got fentanyl pouring over our southern border, more than we've ever seen. In the town of Yuma, you have 239,000 crossing the southern border. That's more than the entire population of Yuma, Arizona. And this is all across Del Rio, Texas, Rio Grande Valley. You have Yuma, Arizona, parts of New Mexico. It's horrible what's going on. And it's they're taking no steps to stop it. Right now is a new poll out. 53% of Americans, this is an IBD tip poll, that they already believe the United States is already in a recession. And you know what? They're right. I think we're already there. Government lags behind, and we'll find out in, next month as to whether or not we are right. It certainly feels like recession with everything that's going on. And now we have Tim Stewart. He is the president of U.S. Oil and Gas. It's not just enough that their energy policies suck and they've declared that they're going to end fossil fuels. We've played you the montages, a number of times, but it's also now pressuring the banks. Mr. Stewart says that the Biden regime is pressuring the banks not to lend money to oil companies.
And that's what they were made that very clear. No more fossil fuels. We're going to move this complete transition to renewables. And then they sent this message to Wall Street, which was basically, you need to start debanking any investment in the oil, gas, and in the refining industry.
Yeah. So again, that's they're putting pressure on the banks. And we've seen what they did to Mike Lindell, the MyPillow guy. They closed his account, not because He didn't have enough money, not because he wasn't paying fees. There was no legitimate reason other than it was bringing increased attention on a bank up in Minnesota. And that's the only reason why he was booted out of that bank. And they're going to do the same thing to oil and gas companies. This weaponization of policy, if they disagree with who you are, what you are, and what you stand for, whether it's the Justice Department, and the IRS, by the way, has been instructed by the Biden regime to buy up as much ammunition as they can. They're trying to create an ammunition shortage on purpose, so they make it extremely expensive to buy ammunition, which is already getting there, for your handgun or for your long gun. So this is all being done intentionally. Janet Yellen, old Yeller, as we call her, she is saying recession is not inevitable, but she's trying to put lipstick on a pig.
I don't see a drop off in consumer spending is a likely cause of a recession in the months ahead.
I don't know what she's looking at, but the economic indices that I'm looking at is that now as recession becomes more and more reality, people are now going to start to pull back. They may take vacations more closer to their home. They may not fly as much. They may not go as long. I think right now when people look at, for instance, I don't know if you saw the TikTok video of this raging lunatic liberal. Maybe we'll get that and put it on the unhinged moment of the day on Wednesday. But she was melting down over $98 to fill her gas tank.
Yeah.
And blaming it on Republicans or something. It was crazy. But that's what's happening right now. People are having to put more money out in gas and groceries. And I hear that all the time when you go to the supermarket, how much more money it costs to buy just the basics and maybe a few luxury items. So, yeah, I don't know what, of course, when you're an elitist, when you're a globalist, you're not affected like the rest of us are, like, John and or Joe and Jane, average American. So
you don't even feel it, man.
No, they don't feel it. but they are worried they're going to feel it at the ballot box. And by that, I mean, they know that these gas prices are unsustainable. They can't go in at $6 a gallon on average because it's going to be more depending upon where you are. They can't go in 140 days from now. All right. And say that, this is, $6 a gallon or even higher. So they got to find a way to try to get it down or try to give us some relief. So two schools of thought on this, two theories that are being floated. One is a federal gas tax holiday that old Yeller said she is considering. The other is because it proved to be so effective with the pandemic, the economic impact payments, they would mail gas cards. That these would be cards you could only use to purchase gasoline at a gas station. And we're hearing somewhere in the vicinity of $350 to $500 on each one of these gas cards.
I just don't see how that's going to help at all. It's going to make things worse.
It's not going to help. What it does is it just really, hey, this must really be bad that the government is sending out gas cards to help us pay for gas. The best thing to help was get the damn prices down. That's what would help. But see, again, it's all symbolism over substance. It's all gimmick and political chicanery. It's like the shell game, trying to find the nut under the shell. And the other big issue here is the diesel prices. I've talked to a number of truckers and farmers. One, farmers are having a tough time getting parts for their tractors and their heavy farm equipment. Two, most of that farm equipment operates on diesel. The tractor trailers, the truckers, they operate on diesel. Diesel right now is much more expensive than regular gasoline, number one. And number two, there's this additive that they put in it called DEF, and it's mandated by the EPA, and they put that in there so it burns cleaner. And there's a shortage on DEF and diesel fuel. On the East Coast, I don't know what about the Midwest and West Coast, but I can tell you on the East Coast, truckers are stalled out on the highway waiting for gas. The gas stations are out of diesel. What do we move? Trains, for the most part, can move across the country, but eventually they have to be moved individually by trucks. And so we saw that, remember, during the pandemic, there were some trucker shortages. We're going to have that in the next several weeks where it's going to be difficult, whatever food we can get to market, to get it there on time, to get it there efficiently. So the food shortages, I think, I'm predicting, are going to be much worse. And I think food prices are going to continually move higher, as will gas prices, no matter what they try to do at the federal level. Tapping into the SPR hasn't made a difference at all.
And don't forget the fertilizer.
Yep, that's the other shoe to drop. There's a fertilizer shortage, and now Biden is apparently signing some kind of an executive order trying to incentivize the manufacture of fertilizer here in the United States. Gee, there's a novel concept. Okay, maybe I think he did it before he fell on his head. But anyway, it is something that, it's going to get worse, I think, before it gets better. I hate to say this, because nobody, you don't want to see anybody suffer through these shortages and these high prices, but it may be the thing that helps save the country, you know, by getting him out of office. All right, so there you have it. It's the fall of Biden, literally and figuratively, all across with his policies, with his administration, everything else. A couple of interesting messages on Juneteenth. One comes from Vernon Jones. Jones, endorsed by Trump in Georgia's 10th congressional district. And it is something that he had to go to a runoff. He trailed his opponent, but neither one of them got over the 50% threshold. So they both have a runoff. I think it's next Tuesday, if I'm not mistaken, when they run off. It's either tomorrow or next Tuesday. I'd have to look it up, but it's soon. Here's Vernon Jones' Juneteenth message about voting for him on this in this special runoff election.
Hello, Georgia. Hello, America. I'm Vernon Jones, candidate for Georgia's 10th Congressional District, and I am in a runoff come June 21st, which is next Tuesday. So please go out. Let's take back our country. But I had to pause for the cause because right now, as we about to celebrate Juneteenth, I'm reminded that Juneteenth was brought about because of what Democrats did to black people, enslaving black people, when it was Republicans that freed the black people. And so, ironically, when they teach about Juneteenth, we don't hear anything about the Democrats were the ones who wanted slavery, and they tried to protect and secure and keep slavery, but it was Republicans who got out, fought, died to free the slaves. And by the way, the liberals, they don't want, especially black people, to know that. And so I just wanted to say, as we celebrate Juneteenth, let's think about the role, and let's educate our kids about the role that Republicans played to free the slaves and the role that Democrats played to keep the slaves enslaved.
Yeah, and that's Vernon Jones. He's 100% right, and a bunch of white dudes and dudettes like us can talk about it until we're blue in the face, and it's not going to resonate when it comes from a prominent black man like Vernon Jones.
And you know something else? Trump was going to have a rally that day in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and everybody had a big uprise because they're like, oh, it's Juneteenth. Well, nobody really knew what Juneteenth was until Trump was going to have a rally on that day. So thanks again to Trump for bringing that forward.
And that is when he talked about the Republicans freeing the slaves. He's absolutely right. As a Republican president, Abraham Lincoln.
Yep.
And Martin Luther King was a Republican. The first black congressman elected to Congress was a Republican, and on and on and on it goes. You ever want to check it out? Project 21 is a great, go to their website, learn the history of the Republican Party and how, again, it was the Republicans that were able to effectively free the slaves. What happened was during the Civil Rights Movement, it was Lyndon Baines Johnson, a lot of evil, nasty, snake Democrats that somehow hijacked the argument and the movement away from Republicans, because they're like, Lucy in the football, Charlie Brown. It's like the Republicans are Charlie Brown, the Democrats are Lucy. And they, again, they constantly fall for the same tricks over and over and over again. But hopefully things are changing. Well, when you look at the Republicans becoming the party of forgotten America, the forgotten men and women of America, they're now becoming more and more open to minorities. You look at what has happened in South Texas with, again, Myra Flores with her special election win in an 84% Hispanic district. She's a Republican. She's an America Firster. She's a Trump fan. And that is for the first time in 150 years. It went to a Republican Latina. Is that not amazing?
And her husband, it works for the Border Patrol.
Yep, Border Patrol agent in Indiana. Look it up. Diego Morales, Secretary of State. Looks like he captured the Republican nomination to face off against a Democrat. First time that has happened in the history of Indiana. So you have Diego Morales in Indiana. You have Myra Flores in Texas. You have Jason Meares in Virginia, who's the new attorney general there. I mean, especially in the brown community, they're embracing the Republicans full speed ahead. The black community is going to get there. It might just take a little bit longer. And speaking of which, here is another black conservative, Dr. Willie Montague. He's running for Congress in Central Florida.
The Democrats, the party of the KKK and Jim Crow, have been promising the black community things for decades. And where has it gotten us? Seems to me just more division and hate. Hi, I'm Willie, and I'm a candidate for U.S. Congress representing the Central Florida area. I am a member of our community who is tired of politicians saying they represent us when we don't even know them.
Yeah, that's Dr. Willie Montague. He has fought against lockdowns and forced jabs for America's first responders. He's already gotten big endorsements from General Flynn. I'm not sure whether or not President Trump has endorsed him. He's a pastor who competed in the GOP primary to face Congresswoman Val Demings in 2020. He fell just short of clinching that nomination. But so far, he's running an aggressive campaign. Right now he's getting some big backing. And he went on to say, if you send him to Washington, he's going to help take down Biden.
I believe in putting an end to Biden's disastrous economy. We have had enough of his foolish policies causing record inflation that even took the dollar store away from us. Central Florida deserves a change, and that change does not exist in the realm of racist critical theories and radical gender ideology being taught to our kids without our consent. What our country needs is to return to God. My name is Willie J. Montague, and I hope to earn your vote so we can finally be represented in Congress by who we really are.
That's a good point. Get back to God. He mentioned critical race theory. He mentioned this transgender stuff. Even Hillary Clinton is warning the Democrats, get off this transgender. This stuff is poison. In the year of the parent, she basically is saying, Democrats are going to get their clocks clean if they keep on pushing this transgenderism in our schools. And the reason why they do that is, you know, again, this is how they recruit future voters. They don't give a damn whether the child is confused or has body dysmorphia or is going through a tough time. I just read a study that those children that are using puberty blockers and are transitioning are at a higher risk of suicide than any other child. And that's post puberty. That's not before, when they're, you know, confused and not wondering what gender they may be or what they are, even though their biological sex may be male and they think that they may be a woman or vice versa. It's when the puberty blockers are given and they begin to transition. That's when it really hits home and they have a higher rate of suicide than the average teenagers do in that subset. So if you know that Hillary knows it's bad for the party and is cautioning the party, that doesn't mean they're going to listen because they've been co-opted by the radical Marxist. So I think people like Dr. Montague, we'll see what happens. But in Vernon Jones, he's got a tough race. But it is good to see that even if they don't win, that they're making things closer. They're making it tougher and tougher for these Democrats to find candidates and also to win, other than if they don't rely on cheating.
Well, what was that last guy we had that you played the cut from? Willie, was it what?
Willie Montague.
Man, he's got a set. you know, because he's battling two things, racism and anti-religiousness.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, you know, he does.
He's a Christian. He's a Christian.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Right. And that is something that, you know, was it Lieutenant Governor of North Carolina, Mark Robinson, is another one. We've played clips from him in the past. So all over this country, you are seeing black and brown and Asian. You're seeing them come together in the Republican Party. I've never seen anything like this. I've been doing this a long time. It is refreshing. It is good to see that Americans of all different ethnicities, backgrounds, and faiths are rallying behind the GOP. The America First Trump wing, by the way, not the establishment nonsense, because they have no interest in doing anything except remaining in power. Speaking of which, it is the last week or so of the J6 special Soviet-style show trial. A bunch of serial liars led by Radical Raskin of Maryland and Liz Cheney, of course. Every time I see her up there on the podium, it just she reminds me of Miss Piggy for some reason. I just can't get it out of my head. But anyway, here's Radical Raskin. He's already pronounced Donald Trump guilty.
Yeah, he's essentially saying, yeah, I did it and I'll do it again, which is what we have been contending all along, that if you allow impunity for attempts at unconstitutional seizures of power, which is what a coup is, then you're inviting it again in the future.
I mean, the man is an idiot. How do you have a coup when the so-called leader of the coup offered the National Guard 2 days before the coup to come and protect from the coup? That makes no sense to me. That's number one. Number two, how do you topple or overthrow a government without any arms? Because they had none that day other than the flagpole here or whatever. There were no firearms. There was no organization. There was people weren't moving in military tactics, although they were. The FBI undercover operatives were helping to egg them on. And it's not working. The J6 panel is backfiring on the Democrats and the RINOs. NBC News traveled out to Nevada to discuss the panel and the hearings with Republican voters. What they found was not only the panel wasn't changing voters' minds, it was pushing them even more towards Trump. Instead, it was the quote-unquote Washington politicians and the media establishment that several voters said they saw as trying to stack the deck against Trump. One said, quote, it might as well be impeachment number three for Donald Trump. This is what happens when you pile on like this. They had impeachment number one over the Russia collusion hoax, which we now know was a complete hoax and a lie. Impeachment number two was the perfect phone call to the Ukraine, prime minister. And that was nothing wrong with that. And this is, you know, again, they're just obsessed with Trump. He is such a threat to the swamp and the establishment that they're now willing to put their entire political careers and reputations at stake on this J6 panel. Marjorie Taylor Greene, she sniffed him out. She knows exactly who these people are and what they stand for. She's the congresswoman from Georgia. She's another one I'm sure they would love to get rid of. She says this committee is doing nothing but lie.
I think they're lying. They're making up an entire story and none of it's true. They're lying about President Trump, all of his staff. They're lying about Republican members of Congress, like Barry Loudermilk, who they've recently attacked, and he's now receiving death threats. You know who they don't interview and they aren't having transcripts and they're not showing their interviews? They're not showing Ray Epps. Where is Ray Epps and why didn't I see him in the D.C. jail when he's one of the people that was clearly part of the effort to send people into the Capitol?
Yeah, Ray Epps was on the most wanted website of the DOJ right after J6, his picture was up there, and then lo and behold, his picture just vanished, disappeared, nowhere to be found. He's not in jail. He's not in custody. He's not been charged. Why would you put somebody's picture up there and then take it down within a couple of weeks? And then, where is he?
I think the other problem is that there's only one side to the story coming out. We don't hear anything about, the other side, the Trump side. I mean, we're only hearing it from afterwards, after the case, on social media. And
oh, you're
I think
right.
People are getting disgusted about it.
Yeah, the people, the American people are not dumb. They realize no. This is a, why I call it a Soviet style show trial, because it's nothing more than a show trial. You won't, there are no attorneys there representing Donald Trump. There are no witnesses there, exculpatory or otherwise, for Trump. There's no evidence being introduced for Trump. You have evidence that's been altered by, Shifty Schiff, and you have the deck was stacked. Jim Jordan and Jim Banks were the nominees to the committee by Kevin McCarthy. Pelosi said no. You had to have been basically a never-Trumper. You had to vote to impeach Trump. And the only two they could find that fit that category were Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger. So this is an illegal, unconstitutional committee. The first time the minority party in the history of Congress was not allowed to select their own members of a panel on a congressional hearing. So the fix was in, you're right, and the American people know it. And Marjorie Taylor Greene says, look, there are political prisoners that are sitting, rotting in jail cells for 529 days now.
These people are being still held in the same horrible, disgusting conditions. They're being held under Deputy Warden Kathleen Landerkin, who on her own Twitter account clearly hates Republicans, hates President Trump, even hates white men. And this is a serious condition.
Yeah, it's a Trump derangement syndrome, but it's also Marxism. Again, show trials. The unconstitutional detention of people without bail, without trials. We said it last episode. I think it was Joe said it. This isn't America any longer.
No.
Now, again, if you want to get it back, you're going to have to work hard to do it. You're going to have to join the resistance here. You're going to have to volunteer. You'll have to donate. You'll have to spread the word about this podcast and get into as many hands as you can because it's us. It's the war room. It's other guys like Dan Bongino and the rest of us out here fighting tooth and nail each and every day to make sure that you get the information you need.
The truth.
That we get the truth out because it's being suppressed by the Marxists in the rest of the state-run media. And Marjorie Taylor Greene basically saying that the mayor of D.C. is refusing access to these political prisoners.
Unfortunately, I can't tell you much because the mayor, Muriel Bowser, is refusing to allow me and other Republicans to go in and tour the jail. I've sent her a letter. I've called her. I've been to her office, and we are still getting no response whatsoever. And there are many Republicans that now want to go in and see the conditions of the D.C. jail. So unfortunately, nothing has changed.
Nothing has changed for 529 days. There have been a few trials. A few convictions have been a few people that have been allowed out for medical reasons. But again, this is, and this could go on and on and on. It probably will go on as long as the Democrats are running the show. I hate to tell anybody in the D.C. jail, in the American Gulag, who may be downloading this show or getting a hold of it, the bad news there, but that's why we have to work special hard to get them out. And the big question is, once again, why the National Guard was refused by Pelosi, by Bowser, and by others after Trump offered to post them to help protect the deplorables or Neanderthals, as one New York governor called us the other day. Here, once again, Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Why don't we find out about why the National Guard wasn't brought in to guard the Capitol? That was my third day on the job. I couldn't even find the bathrooms in the Capitol building because I didn't know my way around. And I was shocked when that happened. I don't know why Nancy Pelosi didn't bring in the National Guard when so many people had requested it.
Well, they wouldn't be able to run their operation then. I mean, is that not the most logical answer? If the National Guard came and there was no breach of the Capitol, no, remember, because you had, on the east side, you had people welcoming U.S. Capitol Police, ushering people in. On the west side, you had the folks in the tunnel there where Roseanne Boylan was trampled. Then they started firing concussion grenades into the crowd, prompting heart attacks and panic.
You know, communists always need violence from the opposition. They always need that. It's It's a part of revolution for them.
Right.
And what that does is it opens the door for them to show more power and to shut people down.
That, well, it's often being compared to the Reichstag fire.
That's where I was going.
Yeah. Okay, so I hated to jump ahead of you there, but
thanks a lot, pal.
That's exactly where.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah,
but again, that's your whole setup there, and immediately that's what I go to. That's what I summon. That is exactly right. What it is in history. And if we're not, we don't learn from it, we're doomed to repeat it, and we are watching a repeat of that. And so that's exactly the reason why the National Guard was refused. She knew what she was doing. She knew there were FBI operatives are going to be egging people on the next day. She knew the Proud Boys and the Oath Keepers are going to be in town. They all got that intel report weeks prior. She got it. Schumer got it. Bowser got it. Everybody got it. And that's one of the reasons why Trump offered the National Guard. And she said, I didn't like the optics. Who's buying that? You certainly loved it after the fact when you had the National Guard in there and you had the fencing put up and it looked like a third world capital at that point. The other truth that's in, again, the 14,000 hours of surveillance video, now that you've heard the Casey commentary on Saturday, if you haven't, you should go back and listen to it, because I have a list of questions that I ask about J6 that you should hear. I'm not going to go back and repeat it now. But the other thing is that there are a lot of truths that aren't being told, like actual evidence of election fraud that has not been investigated by this committee. They won't touch it. It is verifiable evidence of systemic violations of election law, illegal voting, and constitutionally deficient execution of the 3 November 2020 election. And what I'm talking about here is that Trump contested Georgia based on evidence that indicated tens of thousands of illegal votes were improperly counted. I think Biden carried it by a little over 12,000 votes, if I'm not mistaken. Somewhere in that vicinity. Trump's legal team argued illegal votes in 30 plus categories were improperly included in the final election tally. Violations of Georgia election code alone closed the gap between the two presidential candidates. The section provides that state residents must vote in the county in which they reside, unless they change their residence within 30 days of the election. And outside of the 30-day grace period, if people vote in a county in which they no longer reside, their vote in that county would be illegal. And there were tens of thousands of said votes. Remember, Stacey Abrams was recruiting college students to come in and vote in Georgia. Again, what you look at is there are approximately 35,000 Georgians who indicated they moved from one county to another county more than 30 days before the 3 November election. As of May, more than 10,000 updated their voter registration information, leaving the fact that the vast majority of these votes were cast illegally in a county in which citizens no longer resided, and that equaled the margin separating Trump and Biden. And that was just one of the 30 illegal or categories of illegal votes. There's much more. I'm not even talking about voting machines and the ballot harvesting that Catherine Engelbrecht and Dinesh D'Souza, we're going to have Dinesh on in the very near future, perhaps either later this week or early next week, because there's news on 2,000 Mules and Bill Barr. So that's the kind of stuff we're not getting. We're not getting the real truth, the transparency. It's all against Trump. It is a star chamber. It is, they're loaded up with bias and prejudice. Their one sole mission is to, as I've said before, get Trump not to run again, make it difficult, if not impossible. If you can manufacture something, throw a Hail Mary pass, maybe get him indicted. And again, that underneath the plot is to get rid of the Electoral College, but they're going to have to do that with a constitutional amendment.
And, you know, if you don't want to listen to us, listen to some of the people who have come over here from Cuba and from China and lived through communism, and then let them tell you what they're seeing today. And they'll tell you.
Yeah, they've seen it before. They're very quick to jump right on it. Over the weekend, you may have heard of the Colbert Nine.
Yeah.
A camera crew for Stephen Colbert Where they were in congressional offices. They were there to film some kind of bit for the for his show. And again, remember these people aren't stand-up comedians. They're political activists. Every single one of them. Colbert, Meyer, Kimmel, they're all cut from the same cloth. Gone are the days of Johnny Carson and the entertainment people. Okay, it's all about politics, and it's all about either bootlicking the Democrat or liberal and trying to set up and or punish the conservative or the Republican. So apparently we're hearing that Shifty Schiff's cronies may have snuck Stephen Colbert's staff to the U.S. Capitol and facilitated their unauthorized reconnaissance tours of GOP offices. Now, remember, they were accusing Barry Loudermilk of Georgia leading these recon tours. And then, of course, U.S. Capitol Police exonerated him, said, nope, nothing suspicious here. Well, we now know where the suspicion should lie. It should lie with Shifty Schiff, a liar. I think he's a criminal, personally. And he may have let these people in after hours, which would be a breach of protocol. He should be expelled from Congress immediately, never to be heard from again. 9 show staffers from the Stephen Colbert show, including Robert Smigel, who is the voice of Triumph, the insult dog on the show, were in the Longworth House office building after hours. And who knows what they were up to. But I can guarantee you it wasn't anything good.
I hadn't heard of this until you told me, because I'm shut down on the weekends. I was hanging out with the Cold Beer Six.
Yeah.
That was a long way to go for that.
Yeah, it was. But I liked it. It was worth the wait. So, again, you have Tom Emmer, a congressman. He reacted to the Colbert 9.
I'm very concerned about it. And I know Rodney Davis from Illinois, who is a ranking member on the House Administration Committee, is going to make sure we get to the bottom of it. And hopefully people will be held accountable.
Hopefully. And all 9 reportedly spent the night in jail and were released on Friday. And many of my colleagues are saying that they should be treated the same as the J6 defendants.
Exactly.
And I know that's the knee-jerk reaction, but let me tell you where I disagree. Because aren't we not denouncing that kind of behavior?
Yeah.
So what I would rather see, hey, if they were in the Capitol trespassing, they breached the Capitol, that could be deemed as a potential insurrection. They got released. How about you release the other folks in the J6 prison now, give them their bail and give them a trial date, let them go home and be with their families until their trial dates come up. Let's treat them the same way we treated the Colbert 9. What do you
exactly
think?
I think you're right.
You know, that's what we should do. It's unlawful entry. That's exactly what they did. And that is something that I that was my first thought too, Michelle. I said, wait a minute, let's not get caught up in that trick.
Right.
You know, let's be better than they are. And we can. Donald Trump made their heads explode over the weekend. He was at the Faith and Freedom Coalition in Nashville when he talked about the J6 political prisoners.
January 6th defendants are having their lives totally destroyed and being treated worse than terrorists and murderers, despite most being charged with parading through the Capitol. Most people should not be treated the way they're being treated. And if I become president someday, if I decide to do it, I will be looking at them very, very seriously for pardons. Very, very seriously. They've been treated very unfairly.
Yeah, he's absolutely right about that. And, we'll have to wait and see. But he said, like, look, this is a phony narrative. And he said, much like Russia, 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 J6 is nothing more than an elaborate Democrat hoax.
The only thing the radical Democrats can talk about is their fake, phony narrative on January 6th. We call it the insurrection hoax. It's a hoax because it was not an insurrection.
It was not an insurrection. It was not a rebellion. It was not a coup. It was not a plot to overthrow and topple the government. In fact, Donald Trump said this is all he wanted Mike Pence to do, not as been distorted and misrepresented and misreported by the state-run media and by the Democrats. Here is all he was asking the vice president to do.
They also said that I told him that I wanted him to decide the election. I want you to decide. I didn't say that. They made up the story. It's not true. I wanted him to send it up to the legislatures. So it goes back to Pennsylvania, state legislatures.
Yeah, and that's exactly the point, because remember, in our Constitution, it says the state legislators choose the manner of what of how our representatives are selected. Not governors, not secretaries of state, not judges, state legislatures. And any state, Pennsylvania, Georgia, Arizona, Michigan, Wisconsin, that changed the law and did not go through the state legislature on mail-in ballots, harvesting, etc., it was illegal. And so always asking Pence, delay the certification until we get a chance to look and let these state legislatures look and see what happened. If there was evidence of fraud, and I believe there was, then the state legislators can then decide what to do. Whereas there was plenty of time, this was January 6th, the new inaugurated president, in this case, the installed president, wouldn't take place till January 20th. He had 2 full weeks. He could have done it in maybe 10 days and wrapped it all up. And he goes, look, Vice President Pence had a chance here to really do something of historical significance.
Mike Pence had a chance to be great. He had a chance to be, frankly, historic. But just like Bill Barr and the rest of these weak people, Mike, and I say it sadly because I like him, but Mike did not have the courage to act.
Unfortunately, he didn't, because he was being advised by the swamp, by the establishment. You're seeing some of them testify at the J6 hearings now. They aren't going to get work within the swamp if they would cross the J6 committee. And that's why they got this retired Judge Luttig. Again, he wasn't even on the Pence legal team. He had no knowledge of what the Pence legal team was advising or whatever. But they dug him out of retirement, and he volunteered. Why? Because he's part of the establishment, part of the swamp. So that's going to wrap up hopefully by the end of the week, and that'll be it for the J6 committee, and hopefully it will live in the Hall of Shame. Time for our cringe moment of the day. Caregiver Jill, who had to usher Chairman Joe away from the rope line of press reporters on Friday, saying, we got to go. He was in the middle of answering your question. Imagine interrupting the president, even though it's your husband, in the middle of an answer to say, hey, we got to go, and then start pulling him away. That's a really good look, isn't it? But I think she thinks she's president, and here's the reason why.
Joe has called on Congress to pass common sense gun safety reform.
Man, do I sound like an idiot.
There's nothing common sense about this gun reform. And she thinks she's channeling herself as president. Maybe she's the one that's calling the shots. Maybe it's not Obama and Susan Rice. No, again, it has to be. But she's gone along with it. She's gone along with this abuse of her husband, who makes a fool of himself every single day. He's embarrassing on the international stage with foreign policy. He's embarrassing here at home. His policies aren't working. The record inflation, the record prices, the economy is struggling, et cetera. It's all part of, and look, this will lead to recession. I believe we're already in a recession. We're going to find out probably in about less than a month that it is official. Time for the unhinged moment du jour.
Donald J. Trump is now president of the United States.
President, yeah. Sober, adjust the microphone as you told, man.
So, Joe, have you heard about this new Saudi-funded professional golf league?
Yes, I have.
Yeah, me too.
All right. So, Phil Mickelson and a number of other golfers have signed on. I think Dustin Johnson's the other one, big name. Some guys don't want to do it, like Tiger Woods, and that's fine. You know, okay. You don't have to do anything. You can continue to play PGA tournaments. This is what the LIV, I think, is what they're calling it.
Yes.
And so Phil Mickelson was offered $200 million by the Saudis.
Ooh.
To play golf.
Yes.
Okay. And I got to tell you, if I was a golfer, and I'm not, but if I was good and somebody offered me $200 million, to play, damn well would take it.
You know, I have absolutely no problem with it. Not none.
Except for
go ahead.
A couple of things. The Saudis for their role in killing a journalist
at Khashoggi. I do have a problem with
And the Saudis' role, we still don't know to this day what it was in 9/11. We know that 19 of the 20 hijackers were Saudi nationals, but that could just be that they, you know, were given passports in Saudi Arabia because they knew if they came from another country, it would have flagged them for being from a terrorist hosting nation. But
right.
That being said, here's Bob Costas, House liberal over at NBC, denouncing Phil Mickelson and anybody who plays in this Saudi-funded league.
This is blood money. It's just no two ways around it. It's blood money. This is not like the AFL was once a challenge to the NFL or the ABA or the World Hockey Association to the established leagues. And maybe fans of a team would say, gee, we wish our guy didn't go over there. That isn't the case. This is Saudi blood money. We know all we need to know about the royal family and what they have done.
Keep your fried baloney hole shut.
Yeah. All right. So let's talk about blood money for just a second.
Yeah. Let's not buy gas from them. Okay.
Yeah.
Right. That's number one. Or number two, is it blood money when the NBA and Major League Baseball and to some extent the NFL and others take money from the Chi-Coms, from the CCP?
Yeah.
I mean, because after all, their revolution killed millions of people.
And they have the Uyghurs.
Right, the Uyghurs, which they are slowly exterminating one by one. The kinds of human rights abuses we see in Hong Kong. So let's talk about blood money, Bob, and NBC. How much money did NBC take from Beijing, from the CCP?
You're right.
Okay. You freaking hypocrite. You know, this blowbag just wants to... And what about Major League Baseball and the blood money they've taken from Cuba? You know, they've done exhibition games down there in Cuba. They have some kind of developmental league in Cuba. So they're all doing it.
Yeah, that's why I said what I said, Sean, because it's going to happen or it is happening anyway. Mm-hmm. And there's so much, you know, crap coming out like from Costas. It's happening. So, I mean, if it's going to happen, the guy might as well make some money while he's at it.
It also makes me wonder is if Costas is on the take or something on the PGA.
There you go, bro.
You know, because
I was thinking that as well.
When people start protesting like that, and you know, maybe it's their own. I mean, who could be jealous of Phil Mickelson? I don't care. He's a great golfer. If he gets $200 million, good for him. Look, if you're going to pay some liberal like Julia Roberts $20 million on a film, I don't blame Julia Roberts. I don't agree with her politically, but that's on the film company. So if you're going to pay somebody that kind of money, good for them. That's the way capitalists and free markets work. But it just tells me that Bob Costas must have some skin in the game, and that's the reason why he's speaking out. It sure isn't the blood money argument. That is the reason.
I also heard that LIV is they're looking for their game points to count towards ranking in the world.
Yes.
Okay.
They are.
All right.
Their scores, yeah.
I was thinking possibly they're going to ask Biden to have some pull on that in order for them to sell us their gas. I don't know. Could you imagine?
Possibly. You're thinking ahead of the game. It's always a good thing when you're dealing with the Bidens. Yeah. Old 10% guy. All right. Well, thanks again for joining us today. And if you'd like to react or comment, theseancaseyshow@gmail.com is the number. The email, I should say. theseancaseyshow@gmail.com.
Freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction.
And don't forget, we're back on Hump Day for another brand new episode of The Sean Casey Show. We thank our executive producer, Joe Hosni-Armacost.
We bring the battle to you.
And, of course, our associate producer, Michelle Drosilla.
My pleasure.
And our other associate producers, Hunter and Logan Casey, back on Wednesday. Until then, remember to stay free.